Hey, it's your girl, Lashae Simmons, founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon, and I rock with OneGranderMedia.com.
Metro in the morning, it's your man, DJ Metro, hanging out once again with the one and only...
It's me.
It's him.
It's me.
Jay Blaze in
What's
the building.
What's up, sir? How you doing this morning?
Hey, you know what? It's great.
Uh-huh.
Great, 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 great.
Good.
What'd you do on the weekend?
It was a quiet weekend. I was planning on doing some things, but the things that I was planning on doing are booked out till like May. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be an issue coming up into springtime, is if you want to go to a restaurant, a specific restaurant, or you want to do something particular, you know, you might have to wait a couple months because people are trying to get out and do what they haven't been able to do. So I just kind of came across that a little bit. So basically, we just kind of sat at the crib and watch Star Wars. I introduced my wife to Star Wars. And
I'm sorry, say that over.
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Which one?
All of them.
Oh, okay. So you had
a whole
marathon.
Yeah, and it was torture because the questions didn't stop. She's never seen it. She's seen some of the newer ones.
Okay.
But they were running a marathon, and she just got locked into it, and then I got sucked into it, and then we were both there, and... I was trying to tell the story, and because I grew up watching Star Wars, so, mm-hmm. you know, it was that kind of weekend. So.
Okay, that's interesting that she's never seen Star Wars, because I took my son to the movies on Sunday to watch Boys in the Hood.
Wow,
he's never seen Boys in the Hood.
How did that go?
He was just like just stuck, you know.
Man.
But what I come to realize, I mean, I knew it back then, but looking at it again. There are more positive messages in that movie than there are negative. The gun violence is actually minimal in that movie.
I've always kind of thought about Boys in the Hood like that, too. I've always seen it as not a movie that kind of focused on violence and the negativity of the hood, but the things that come out of the relationships that are built and the things that are grown within those environments. Mm-hmm. So that was.
Yeah, it was crazy. So that was the 30th anniversary.
Wow, where did y'all catch this at, man? How come I didn't get the invite? What, like, what?
Cinema Carousel, man.
Yeah.
Look, Cinema Carousel.
Yeah.
30th anniversary, and it was talking about John Singleton.
Right.
23 years old.
Man.
When he made that movie. Can you imagine 23 coming out with a blockbuster?
Game
but you didn't know it was going to be a blockbuster,
right?
But it turned out to be a blockbuster.
Well, no, I guarantee with the passion that was put into that movie,
he knew. Yeah,
he was expecting. He's like, yeah, we're doing this.
So you know, the guy was saying that he took a non-traditional way of producing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do it in sequences,
okay,
versus the normal standard,
okay, which was,
you know what? That's film talk.
Okay.
I know a little bit. Look, I'm learning
more
things about the film industry. So, Cuba Gooding Jr. Is in that movie. So, since we're talking movies,
right?
His brother Omar Gooding was here.
Omar
and I was on set with them
last week
for the movie Leo that's coming to GR. That's coming soon. So I'm glad to be a part of that project right there. And I'm ecstatic, excited. And actually, we're going to have Omar, hopefully, get a chance to interview him within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been watching Omar Gooding since I had to be, at least 12 years old. He's been around for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then we had little Isaiah. I'm gonna have to work on that, but that with Mark Jacob Jeffries.
Jeffries. Mark John Jeffries.
Mark John Jeffries.
Mark John Jeffries.
I just call him Lil Isaiah because this is the first time that I saw the cat in the movie, and I remember the movie. It was one of those movies that just kind of left a mark. And there was a lot of uproar about the movie, but that was him.
Yeah, that was him. So
it was kind of cool.
So he's talking about Mark John Jeffries. He was the young little boy in Losing Isaiah years ago. So he was here also last week in film production right here in Grand Rapids. And we had a good time with him. The guy is very down to earth. I mean, super.
Yeah, he was cool.
So when I met him, he was like, hey, what's up, Doug? You know, we just went at it just like that.
Right.
And so we actually spent the whole afternoon together, and we went shopping in the mall and all those different types of things that we took care of for him. And it was a good experience. Great experience, actually. But when I say down to earth, he out there shooting hoop with us. Man. All that kind of crazy stuff.
Had you out there on the court.
We was on the court.
Yeah,
we was indoor, but we was on the court.
Okay. Okay.
So it was great. It was great. Yeah.
Well, a lot coming up right here on Grander Media. Metro in the Morning, Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. Coming up, we're going to introduce you to someone very important in the West Michigan community, specifically the Black community. So that's coming up. This is Metro in the Morning, Jay Blaze, DJ Metro, onegrandermedia.com.
Metro in the Morning, back again, DJ Blaze. DJ Blaze. Look at
DJ
that.
DJ Metro.
My brain is out of here.
What's going on? Switching
it's,
it up.
It's out of here today.
Hey, it happens sometimes. It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. So when we were, before the break, mm-hmm. we were talking about first movie, Star Wars.
Yes.
And Boys in the Hood, per my son.
Uh-huh.
And so he had a great experience with that. And mm-hmm. then you were saying that we're going to bring someone here. Miss Lachey Simmons, the second. Now that's unusual. The second for a female to have the second. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unusual. So we'll get into that.
Yes.
And but yeah, Miss Lachey Simmons, the second.
Who is Miss Lachey Simmons, the second?
Well, you know what? We're gonna turn the mic over to her and let her explain and introduce herself to our community here.
Miss Lachey Simmons, the second.
So I am the founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon,
okay.
and I am also a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual.
Oh.
Yeah. Right around the corner from here, actually. So okay. Not too far.
So, you know, we all can use some financial advice.
Okay. Always.
Yeah. So we're gonna plug you in to, we have an in-house financial guy. So, but you know what? It doesn't hurt to have another viewpoint.
It's all about expanding the knowledge base. Yeah, I really believe in that.
Yeah.
You know, I know things, you know things, and we come and we bring what we know together and we build off of that and we bring other people in and that's how you build. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, every so often we can have her come on board.
Hey.
Drop a few nuggets to the people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
I see.
That,
I just okay. came up with the whole idea.
Yeah, yeah, we did, right?
Yeah, we on the fly. That's, you know, on the spot. That's how we do it.
We create. It would be a pleasure. I mean, that's what we're here to do. Just build bridges and make sure that, you know, we close in on that wealth gap. That's one of my main priorities. So
Lachey, tell me about Black Wall Street Muskegon. What is Black Wall Street Muskegon?
Absolutely. So Black Wall Street Muskegon is a platform. It started off on Facebook, and it's this platform that was supposed to be a connector of people, Black people, to encourage Black consumerism, to encourage networking between the Black community, and just to overall look at what we can accomplish together. So there's people in the group from grandparents to business owners and, I mean, lawyers, doctors. There's so many different kinds of people, and they're all Black,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it was so important to have a good visual, I think, just for our youth, really, and just our community, that there's a lot of different people doing a lot of different things, and they look just like you, right?
Okay, so while you were talking, I got a little joke, because what you were talking about is something that in history we found, and I think, is that where you got the name from? I'm not going to assume, but is the original Black Wall Street where you got the name from? And if you could explain the history behind the name of Black Wall Street.
Absolutely. So essentially that is where I got the name from overall, but there's also like a Black Wall Street Kalamazoo, Black mm-hmm. Wall Street Bend Harbor, and essentially that name Black Wall Street just comes and derives from a community of people that were self-sustaining, right, on mm-hmm. their own.
Yep.
They were self-sufficient, and not just self-sufficient like, oh, we got a restaurant. No, mm-hmm. we got banks, we got mm-hmm. private doctors, we have our own, you know, realtors, whatever it is, from top to bottom. So it was a community in itself.
Okay.
A self-sustaining Black community everywhere. Everything that you needed was in this place. Right. So on this street, if we're talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? And if we're looking right there, I could walk down the street and say, hey, I need a doctor. That doctor's right on the corner and they look like me. There's no prejudice when I walk into their space. So they created a ecosystem, right, that was for the people, for the Black people that were maybe tolerated elsewhere, but accepted here. So that is the long and short, and that's what we wanted to do, bring that same value where we don't have to be tolerated. We can create our own structures and ecosystems. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some mental preparation, right? Because there's a lot of people with, what's the term, Stockholm syndrome, or just in general, there's just some people that really may not know exactly how it works, but once they see it happening, they understand, okay, now I understand what you're trying to do and I can get on board. So I believe it's our job as a community to just uplift one another and encourage one another. So then that way, maybe my brother that's 21 doesn't understand the importance of Black consumerism and what it can do generationally, right? But if I show and lead, then they'll have an idea of what to do. And that's something that was taken from us once, you know, Black Wall Street was burned down.
Right. So if you are just tapping into Metro in the Morning on onegrandermedia.com, we are talking to Lashay Simmons, who is a founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon, which I was reading your bio, and not only are you promoting Black-owned businesses in Muskegon, but you're also promoting financial planning services. You just gave us the breakdown of the significance of Black Wall Street. We're going to talk to you a little bit more about your the financial planning services that you offer and how you even came to connecting the two. So that's coming up. This is Metro in the Morning. Call your mama, call your friends. We hanging out with Lashay Simmons, founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. Metro in the Morning on onegrandermedia.com.
Back from the break, talking with Lashay Simmons and Black Wall Street, how she got started with this platform here in Muskegon. Tell me what really made you get into it, and talk about that financial planning side and how you brought the two together.
Absolutely. So what got me started was, as a financial advisor, you have to prospect for yourself. So meeting new people is up to you. And when they asked me who my target audience was, I responded, socially woke individuals. And they were like, well, what does that mean? And so I broke it down and explained that that's, you know, young Black professionals that understand that a change needs to happen in the financial realm, but maybe they're not sure how to make it happen. And so I was going to a lot of different networking events, some down in like Atlanta, Chicago. So I was just all over the place networking, trying to meet new people. And what I was noticing is that all of these like networking events that was geared towards, you know, Black folks, whether it be Black business owners or just young professionals, I noticed that there wasn't really anything like that in, you know, Muskegon or a city where I was from. And so I was like, well, what can I do to bring that together? And then in financial planning, what I began to notice is that honestly, the Black community was just a underserved community. And I believe that the reason for that was just there wasn't a lot of representation. So in order for us to really break through that barrier, you have to see someone sometimes that looks like you in that space. So the long and short was, I said, well, okay, let me do some research. And in doing the research, I was noticing that, again, the Black community was an underserved community. Black businesses were failing. I mean, businesses in general are, you know, likely to fail within the first 5 years. But what I was noticing is that Black businesses were failing more rapidly. So then I had to identify, well, why are they failing like this? One was an access to capital, lack of access to capital. That was one thing, be it their personal credit wasn't where it needed to be. Their savings wasn't where it needed to be. So that was one thing, lack of capital. And then the other part of that was just lack of financial planning. So a lot of times businesses, especially Black-owned businesses, are started out of necessity, are started out of hustle because maybe I lost my job or whatever the case may be. So you're probably not in a place where financially you're the most secure. Mm-hmm. You got to turn your talent into some money, right? And usually when you start that and when you start there, you don't have necessarily the capital backing behind you. And so I was noticing, you know, okay, what can I do to really help? And so one was build this platform because I want to meet new people. If I'm being transparent, right? I want to meet new people. How else to do it? Create a platform.
Right.
But then the other end of that was, now that you created this platform, how do you help these businesses truly thrive? So, you know, outside of just thriving because I can support you a little bit, no, I need you to thrive after me. I need you to build generational wealth. I need you to create a legacy. And the way to do that is through financial planning and most commonly through entrepreneurship, right? So if you are already an entrepreneur and I got the financial planning part, well, why would you not want to talk to me?
Right.
And why would I not want to talk to you? So then it became about creating just a bridge where we can close the wealth gap. And most notably, like during this pandemic, I was talking to a lot of different businesses and I was like, hey, were you all able to access any of those grants and different things like that? A lot of them were like, well, no, not really. Right. And they either weren't able to because their business end was not structured properly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Or if it was a loan that they needed to go take out, their financial planning portion was not up to par or, you know, at the standard. So again, it just shows the importance of us working together and utilizing one another for the knowledge and say, hey, you may be really great at barbering. Right. But the financial planning part, like, that ain't your thing. And that's okay, because that's why I'm here, to say, hey, here's how we make sure we cover these three pillars, what I like to focus on: risk management, debt management, wealth management. Those are the three key pillars.
Now, are you finding that the people in your group, are you finding that some of those people are taking advantage of your advice as far as the financial planning is concerned?
Absolutely. So there's a good portion of people that have taken advantage of the services that I offer, but then there are also some where they're maybe not able to take advantage at the moment, but they're still getting the knowledge. Because regardless to if you work with me the first time I reach out or 3 years later, it's okay. Yeah. You have to, and that's the big thing, plant the seed. So there's plenty of people that in my first year I reached out to and they were like, well, no, right now is not the time. Mm-hmm. But I planted the seed and I planted it enough where they knew, okay, well, when I am ready, who am I going to call? Who do I think of? You think of Lachey.
Right.
Right. And then being, you know, the face of this particular platform, it builds trust. And I think that's something that we lack in our community, just trust, because you don't always know who to trust, whether it be, you know, a Black person or a non-Black person. So mm-hmm. really, if they see me, they can see me, mm-hmm. right? Right? They can touch me. They know that they can call me.
Right.
I'm not hard to find. And so when we talk about dealing with somebody's money, you need to not be hard to find. I need to know.
Because we don't like to part with our money.
No,
not at all.
No. No. So I need to know that I can locate you right. if need be. But then also, I want to be able to see. One thing I love about social media is, I know a lot of people say social media is fake or whatever, but I do my best to be as real as possible on my social media so that you can really gather who I am. And then you can really make a decision on whether or not you want to work with me. And I just think that it's created such beautiful relationships for my business, for their business, and then even on the referral base, right? So there's people that are like, well, maybe I can't work with you right now, but I know some folks, and that's cool too. Or maybe I'll say, hey, I may not need what you're selling, but yo, I will promote you. I will refer you, whatever I can do. It doesn't always have to be monetary.
So if you're just listening, we are talking right now to Lachey Simmons, the second founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon, who basically is just talking about reinstalling community in a lot of different aspects within these cities from a social media platform. So if you're in Muskegon, you have a business, you're looking to kind of figure out what to do, how to grow it, how to build it, how to promote it, maybe you need some financial planning assistance. Lachey Simmons, what is your social media? Where can we find you at on your platforms? And I know we're going to come back around to this again, but I want to make sure we get this out now. Where can people connect with you on social media?
Ooh, I should probably know this off the top of my head. I have like so many different ways you can contact me, but
or period. How can people connect with you?
So you can definitely connect with me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Lachey Simmons II. For financial services, you can go to my Lachey Simmons II-Northwestern Mutual Facebook page. My personal Facebook page is Lachey Simmons II. There is a Black Wall Street Muskegon Facebook page, Black Wall Street Muskegon Facebook group. There's a Black Wall Street Muskegon website, which is blackwallstreet231.org. And you can contact me that way. The email address is on there. So I try to be as accessible as possible. You're always welcome to inbox me or email me. I'm pretty responsive. So those are probably the easiest ways to get in contact with me.
Okay. So coming up, we're going to have more with Lachey Simmons, founder and CEO of Black Wall Street Muskegon. I want to talk to you about your village, because that was in the bio that you sent us. And I want to kind of get some more information about what that means and just talk about that a little bit. This is Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. We are Metro in the Morning, onegrandermedia.com.
Metro in the Morning, Jay Blaze in the building. We are hanging out with Lachey Simmons II. What's going on? Shay Shay?
What's up?
I just had to throw that in.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I'm going to let him slide on that. And I really said what's slide. Up to it. I really said what's up. Like,
you're
going to
let
the cool.
Shay Shay go.
That was your one and only.
Hey, that all. Okay. I almost ignored that. I was going to see what happened. I just kind of looked off to the side.
Yeah. So we're talking financial literacy, financial planning, Black Wall Street Muskegon. And so my question is, in the Black Wall Street, do you find yourself having a mixture of different types of businesses, or do you find one that's heavily concentrated one way?
Yeah, so there's definitely a different or a multitude of mixtures, right, of different types of businesses. I always do like a little SWOT analysis, right? So where are we strong? Where are we weak? What are some opportunities? And one thing that I've noticed in Black Wall Street are a good opportunity for those thinking about starting a business, but really be in that construction realm. Like, it's wide open. There are some that do construction, but there's never too many. Someone always wants home repair or something like that. But there's also the difference between more established and more hustles, right? So you really have to separate the two and understand. But I always encourage those that are currently hustling, well, everybody starts off hustling at some point, right? And the goal is to grow. And so what we want to do is provide a resource so that those hustlers can become full-time entrepreneurs and provide them with the resources that they need to become that, be it structuring your business properly. What do you want to be? Do you want to be an LLC? Do you want to be a nonprofit? If you don't know which is which or how to decipher between the two, then we like to sit down and say, okay, well, what is it that you're trying to do? And once we identify what you're trying to do, then we can give you the advice needed to say, okay, here's what you should look at, and here's why. And so that is part of the reason why our first annual Black Business Expo is super important, because the first part of that is a symposium. And that symposium will have the $1 million roundtable, but then it'll also have two breakout sessions. And so one breakout session is going to focus on like the legalities of starting a business. So we have T. Dan Smith, who is an attorney, and he's going to help I mean, he's going to help, but he's also going to give information on, okay, how should you structure your business? How do you limit your liability for real? How do you have it set up and established properly so that you can, you know, mitigate that risk? So he'll be helping with that. And he helps small businesses get started, make sure they have everything that they need. And then we also have Mr. Ed Gardner from the Small Business Development, so SBDC. So he's going to be there. And what he's going to focus on is, one, marketing, because that's something that business owners or small businesses struggle with, be it the expense of it or just the creativity behind it. Mm-hmm. And then he's also going to give some information on where you're going to be able to find, like, access to grants or, you know, different monies, essentially. Okay. So not only do we want to buy Black, we want to make sure that we sustain Black. And in order to do that, we have to educate. And like I said, so those three parts, the $1 million roundtable, the first breakout session, and then the second breakout session. And
so what's the $1 million roundtable? What is that?
Yeah, so the $1 million roundtable, we have three guest speakers or panelists, however you want to phrase it. One is Jamisha Smith. She's the CEO of Peachy Pure. She's from Muskegon. She currently lives in California. And then we have Will Roberson, who is the CEO of Shoreline Staffing. And then we have Michael Buxton, who is the CEO of a lot of stuff. But I always just put Lotus Foot. But essentially, these are business owners, right? And they have three different types of business. And they've all generated over $1 million in revenue, gross revenue. And that was during a pandemic,
right?
Yeah. So they've all been so gracious to say, hey, I wouldn't mind, you know, giving back and giving some of my time and, you know, answering questions and helping and sharing what helped me. What was that thing that took me over to the, you know, next level? And someone may hear that and may become the next millionaire. And that's what we want to do. And we want to give people access. We want to give folks access to us in a way, in giving back and saying, hey, I have this information. I'm willing to share it, because sometimes the straight up question is, what did you do?
Mm-hmm,
right. Everybody likes to talk around it, right? And that's mm-hmm. cute, yeah. But I need to know, sis, bro, what did you do? And these people are straight up, down to earth, and they're real, and they're about business, and they're willing to say, here's what I did. I'm not saying it's going to work for you,
right?
But here is what I did, and maybe you can pull some of the things that I did and see if they do work for you to get you to that next level.
Right. Yeah, so I know two of those. I don't know the Peachy.
Jamisha.
Jamisha. I don't think I know her. Mm-hmm. I may, but I don't think I do. But the other two I do know. And they are very open to give up information or what have you. I've had conversations with both those guys. And yeah, but as you were saying, maybe what they did may not work for you, but you can apply it to your business or what have you. And I find that in books. So I do a lot of reading or what have you. And I always look at somebody's story and what they have done. And then I try to apply it in my success. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm sure they have some great information. And what time is the breakout session for your Black Expo, or has that been established yet?
So the full rundown of it hasn't been established, but with the expo, like I said, it's going to be two parts. So first part is the symposium. Second part is the actual vendor expo and experience. So it's going to start at 9 a.m. with the symposium, and then it's going to end at 5 p.m. What I do know is that the vendor expo portion is going to start at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So we can bank on the symposium being from like 9 to noon.
Okay.
Something like that.
So that's the first annual Black Business Expo. Muskegon. Oh, Muskegon. Watch out now.
There it is.
You know, I'm actually looking forward to being there and seeing how everything comes together or what have you.
I mean, I haven't going back to the panelists that you guys are going to have. I know Michael Buxton. I know who he is. We had Will here a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not sure who the other young lady is, but just based off of what you told me, the information that's going to be shared, you know, if you're looking to build a business or you're trying to figure it out, I mean, that to me would, yeah, I vouch. Metro of the morning. It's going to be the place to be. It is. It will be. Lachey Simmons, CEO and founder of Black Wall Street, right here on Metro in the Morning with Jay Blaze and DJ Metro. We got more on the way. More with Lachey. And yeah, Blaze and Metro. Metro in the Morning. Hey, welcome back to Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. This morning, we are hanging out with Lachey Simmons, who's a CEO and founder of Black Wall Street, Muskegon. A little bit ago, we were talking about the Black Business Expo that you guys have coming up. When is that date?
June 19th.
Okay. We'll get to a little bit, and just a little bit, the significance of that date and the connections and all of that. But first, you're talking about Black Wall Street and the fact that it's an online platform to promote businesses and to help build businesses and to help build community and to do a lot of positive things within the community. But what, as an organization, what things won't you accept and what things do you guys look to support?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the obvious thing, we look to support Black-owned businesses that are trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's the first step. We look to support community as a whole, and we look to support an ecosystem, again, to create something self-sustaining. What we won't accept or tolerate is anyone utilizing or using abusive practices, because as much as we like to promote these businesses, we also have to protect these businesses and our community. So that's one thing. We won't accept abusive practices. We will not tolerate hostility towards one another. There's always a way to communicate. And so that's one of the things that I outline in our rules on the Facebook page or the Facebook platform is that, you know, no bashing of one another. Try to resolve it in a manner in which everyone feels respected. I understand that we're all humans, mistakes happen. And I believe that it's so important, especially when you're buying Black, it's very important to not necessarily be lenient and let them get away with anything or let business owners get away with anything, but it is important to make sure that if they make a mistake, you go directly to them and try to resolve that problem rather than trying to blast them and say, well, this is why I don't support Black-owned businesses. That's something that I can't necessarily say I don't tolerate, but that's something that I get a little riled up about. So if I see someone say that or whatever their experience was, they had one bad experience, I always ask, well, hey, did you try to reach out to this business owner? And if you didn't, then how is it that you made a whole Facebook status already? Right? Let's be mature about this. Yeah. How many times have I went to places, I hate to name drop, right? But let's just say Walmart. How many times have I been to Walmart and maybe I was dissatisfied, but I went back.
Right?
And I'm not necessarily saying that that's giving these Black-owned businesses a pass, but you do at some point have to treat them with the same care or redundance that you treat these other big corporations with. Now, again, if someone's just being abusive in their practices and they just are deceitful and they absolutely can't do the job, then okay. But let's say I went to a restaurant and my food just wasn't as good that time. Mm-hmm. I can go back. And before I go back, I can say, hey, just want to let you know, here's what my experience was, and give them an opportunity to write it, right? Because from what I've noticed, a lot of these businesses are open to criticism. And if you never tell them, they won't know.
True.
And so if you tell them rather than just trying to embarrass them, they'll make some adjustments, right?
Right. Because, you know, one thing that I've noticed growing up, you know, doing whatever I do and going to different businesses or what have you, that we criticize our businesses so much harder. And as you're saying, we will go back to another business, but we'll just get rid of ours altogether. Won't go back. Won't tolerate them.
And we talked about a few months back. You gave an analogy or a story about the Black-owned hair store versus the other folks, which is what we call them.
Right.
So, and just the decisions that are made in terms of where I decide to spend my dollars on a regular basis. I come over here and there are issues, so I'm not going back. But this is the first time I came. I'm going to continue to support that other location that's not connected to our community, that's not connected to the well-being of the families within those neighborhoods.
Well, you know, one thing, since we're talking about Black Wall Street, there's a book I read called Black Economics. So it's by Dr. Kwanzaa Kung-Jufu. Right. Dr. Kwanzaa Kung-Jufu, right? Mm-hmm. So he's talking about how other nationalities will come to America, but they will come to the Black neighborhoods, set up shop, and they will get all of our money. So once you go into one of these different establishments and you see they have chicken, beer, alcohol, t-shirts,
hair,
Jordans, all in the back,
right,
or what have you, but they have everything that we want in one location, but we can have a store right across the street that's Black owned, and we won't support it as much. If we do support it, let's just go hair. If a bundle of hair costs $29 somewhere else, but it costs $31 at the Black-owned store, we won't spend that $31. We'll spend the $29 with the other nationality, and they're steadily getting rich and rich and rich and rich, and we're steadily losing our businesses day by day because we're not getting the support. And as small business people, we need our own communities to support us. You know, we need, that's the only way we can sustain. But if we can't see spending that extra 50 cent or dollar, we're doomed before we even get started. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I do. Yeah.
But that's the other thing, too. You support these other businesses that are not Black owned, and we make them millionaires, and they take that money and they take it outside of the community, right?
Yep.
Where you could have spent that $31 and a portion of that would have went towards the community plus towards a Black-owned business. So let's just, if we're just name-dropping cities and areas, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a Black-owned business in Muskegon Heights, right? And then you have a non-Black-owned business right in Muskegon Heights. And we go by with that non-Black-owned business, and then they go take that money that they've earned and they take it out to Northern Shores.
Exactly.
All the roads in Northern Shores, they're pretty good.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. No potholes out there.
No potholes, right? Yeah. And so it's important that not only are you spending Black-owned, you're spending with those that's going to put that money back into the community.
So here we are at onegrandermedia.com. That's where you can find us online, onegrandermedia.com. But this is Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. We all about pushing Black businesses, building communities. And Lachey,
she's on point over here.
Hey, I'm over here. My ideas are coming. And I can't wait to talk to you guys a little bit more about those. But I'm over here just, I'm tripping a little bit. But this is what we do here at Grander Media. So thanks for coming to hang out with us this morning. Where can we find you once again? If you could just run down your contact info real quick.
Absolutely. So it was a pleasure hanging out with you all. You can find me on Facebook. Lachey Simmons II. Two pages will pop up, either my personal page or my business page. You can find me on LinkedIn, Lachey Simmons II. or you can go to blackwallstreet231.org. You can shoot an email at blackwallstreetmuskegon@gmail.com. But all of those ways are great ways to connect with me.
All right.
So before we go, let me make this point also. Uh-huh. So another point in the book, and statistically, our dollar does not stay in our community for any length of time, right?
Right.
So we need to make it a habit of spending more with our own people, so that the money stays in the community. You know, other communities, dollar might stay there 28 days, might stay there 14 days.
Right.
It might be a few hours in the Black community. As soon as we get it, we're shipping it off to somebody's mall, to somebody's something, instead of our own. You know what I mean? Now, from my standpoint, I know we don't own major car lots, major furniture places, major, you know, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But what we do own and what we do have, we need to support those.
Right. Keep the money in the city, in the hood. Keep the money in the hood.
Yeah, because, you know, somebody's... Because you think about it now. I'm going on a tangent now.
Right.
You think about it. We are the ones that support that Little League team. Mm-hmm. The community supports that Little League team.
Right.
You know, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. We support that.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, the only way we can support it is if we have support from the community. Correct. Because we have to sustain our businesses somehow.
This is true.
Keep it locked. Metro in the Morning right here.
Hey, welcome back to Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro, with today's guest, Lachey Simmons II, founder and CEO of Black Wall Street Muskegon, who we've been talking a little bit of financial planning, talking community building, talking black business support. And it sounds like you've taken on a lot with some of the endeavors that you've kind of taken on. So, yes, there's been a lot.
It has been. I'm learning, though, to, what is it called? Delegate.
Ah,
that was going to be my question right there.
I'm learning, but I don't know. I don't like to blame things on astrology signs, but I'm a Virgo, and we are known to be perfectionists and just liking things our way, so I tend to take on a lot of stuff just to make sure it's exactly how I envisioned it.
Okay.
So, well, the people that you're delegating to, how have they adapted to your style of getting things done?
Delegation tactics.
Yeah, they love me.
Oh, okay. Really? Everybody.
Like, just everybody. No, the people that I've delegated the task to, they have to love me as a human in order to work with me. So they have crazy love for me. But no, I utilize my family a lot, honestly. Okay. Like, that's my village. And so...
And that's what I wanted to get to earlier is in your bio that you sent us, you talk about your village. So specifically, who are some of those people? You mentioned professors. You had a professor or a village of professors in college. Talk real quick about that.
Absolutely. So I went to college at 17. I had two kids by 17. So I had my son at 16, my daughter at 17. So when I went to college, my son was like 10 months and I was 6 months pregnant. And so I was all alone. It was just me in Kalamazoo. All my family was back in Muskegon. And basically, I started to meet people, and people started to see what I was trying to do, and they just wanted to help. And that's when I started to learn how to accept some help, because at first, you know, when I went off to college, I was like the person I was like, well, I'm going to do this to prove everybody wrong.
Mm.
And then that quickly shifted to, I'm going to do this to prove everyone right. Because people began to believe in me and wanted to pour into me. And so that's why I feel like it's so important that I return that in whatever way that I can. So, you know, over time, me and my mom, we, you know, grew a really tight relationship. So now it's like, I call my mom like, all right, listen, ma'am, we're about to do an event. I need you to pull up for me right quick. And, right. You know, she like, all right, what you need? And then I have my cousin Joy. And anytime I call, I'm like, here's what I need. Or even before I call, she's like, what do you need me to do? Because they know I got a problem with asking. So it's like, what do you need me to do? And then also I have a partner, you know? And so I always go to D. I refer to him as D, but Darius. And I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And he knows when I'm getting really overwhelmed, right? Cause he's with me like that. And so he's like, I tell you what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But my village is my close circle. So boyfriend, mom, cousin, my children, you know, so I keep my village really tight and with my family, because you got to be family in order to deal with me and my shenanigans, like, for real. Because when I get to going, and they all know now how to deal with me. They're like, oh, she just in one of her moods or whatever. We know what to do. Or also, I can trust them. So I trust them to do what they say they're going to do. And I think that's the hardest thing when you're dealing in business like this. You have to know that the people that you're putting in charge of something, they're going to be able to complete the task with very little monitoring. That's what's important. And they're going to do it in a fashion in which you're going to be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to put someone in a place and then they completely, you know, derail the vision, or they just don't follow through. So that's why I try to utilize that particular part of my village.
Wow. Well stated. Yeah. I think we all need more villages like that, you know, small villages that expand to a larger village, because a lot of us go into business or whatever we do and we're all alone, or we have one person maybe to confide in to assist us in somehow. But having that village and that stability of accountability for yourself and people trying to share and pour into you, I think that's that lifts you up.
It does. You know, I mean, I call my dad sometimes 2 days before, like, hey, we're having this big community event. I need you to barbecue for like 300 people. And he was like, what? Let me call my friend and get this big grill, though. So I was like, all right, Dad. And so it's funny because his wife always says, like, when Shay calls, if she puts on the voice like, Daddy, that's when she wants something. And so she always tell him, like, you just a sucker. As soon as she calls, Daddy. And he comes through. Same, like I said, so my parents are great. You know, my partner, my cousins. Like I said, it's really a lot of family. And they just really want to see my dreams come to fruition, because my dreams aren't for me, right? So my talent isn't just for me, and they understand that what I'm trying to do is far greater than me, and anything that they can do to help, they just press on in. And so I appreciate that.
Everything that you just said speaks to everything that you do. You've got your village, you've got your personal, your own community of people. You guys support each other, they support you, and you're building and you're growing. And with Black Wall Street, Muskegon, and the financial planning, you've taken that same concept and you've expanded it, like what Doug was telling you, or what Doug was just saying. You take your community and you expand your community, and that's kind of how you grow and build communities, which is something that we lack in our cities today. So thanks for hanging out with us this morning, Lashay. Lashay Simmons II, CEO and founder of Black Wall Street, Muskegon. You can be found where, one more time, it's the last time I'm going to ask you, where can we find you at?
No, I didn't forget. No, I'm just kidding. Here you go. But you can definitely find me on Facebook, Lashay Simmons II. That's my personal page. Yeah. My business page will also pop up. You can email me at blackwallstreetmuskegon@gmail.com. You can find me on our website, blackwallstreet231.org. And you can also search for our private Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And that's Black Wall Street Muskegon. So, not hard to find at all.
Grander Media is all about building a community. That's what we do. That's why we're here. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And Lashay is going to be helping us with some things in the future. She's going to help us do the same thing. So rock with us. All right. We here every morning. This is Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. Peace. Ho!
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see your life was the only gift I'll ever need to be free? It's amazing.
All I wanna do is make you proud of me.
That's why
I wanna. right.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes, and the church saying, come on.
Loving you will be.
Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Let me tell you what it means.
More than less of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
he won't know. That's not what superheroes do.
See, I will never find
no greater love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
You're the Savior.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.